Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to having some dialogue and discussion with you on the issue of the day. As we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. We do not base our issues and the answers to those issues on some political ideological bent or some denominational dogma, but based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book, as I like to call it. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in two places. John 14:6, he says, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the direction in our lives and the lamp for our feet and pathway. It ought to be the word of God that we stick to when we're searching for truth. It is the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that taking place across America and even around the globe today. You see, in the Beltway in Washington, they are not seeking for truth. They're not seeking for the truth of what God would say in particular. Very evident by Jerry Nadler, the representative Nadler, made the statement in a very disdaining fashion, very derogatory way, and on the House floor, where Jerry Nadler said in a response to an individual reading from the scripture about the Equality Act, House Bill 5, and how bad it was against the Word of God and how evil it would be. And Jerry Nadler made the very profound statement. He said, "God's will has no place in the halls of Congress." And ladies and gentlemen, that should tell you the depth that we have plummeted to in America, where even in the House, with the House of Representative members, they're willing to openly disparage the Word of God and God himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth that we ought to be seeking. I'm looking at a little brief article by former Senator Jim DeMint. It says, DeMint warns Americans decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you two brief paragraphs out of this three-page article. Truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of the truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Further, he made the statement, "What we believe about truth does not change what is truth. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in Christian churches," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have made a statement any more profound than former Senator Jim DeMint made in that statement. We need to recognize truth and stand on truth. This is the reason I'm so thankful for the statement by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I commend that to us today. I believe that is where we ought to stand. And ladies and gentlemen, furthermore, I believe that we're getting closer and closer in the last days in which we're living, that it's going to require us standing for truth, even if our lives are on the line for standing for truth. This is the reason the statement was made by Jan Hus: defend the truth even to death. And in his era, they were having to do that. And I think we've come full circle to that time in America and around the globe today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those wanting to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. With a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, they can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner lawn care system and the equipment that is needed. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole there, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. On the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about a variety of subjects today, but I want us to view it under the umbrella of a conservative Christian's position. What ought to be the position that we take as conservative Christians on some of these issues that we're faced with in society? I was talking to my wife this morning about the issues and what's taking place in America, and she says, is anything good taking place, anything good happening? And the answer to that, really and truly, when you look at it from a biblical world vision, a biblical world perspective, very little is taking place that is good. But we know who wins in the end. We know that in the end, I read the last chapter of the last book, ladies and gentlemen. I know who wins in the end. We do. As Christians, we win. But ladies and gentlemen, we must face the reality of what's happening in society. We need to face it with a biblical worldview, and we need to recognize that God's still on the throne, that God's still watching over us, that God is still in authority. God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. He's not even had COVID. He is still all-powerful, all-present. Ladies and gentlemen, as we awaken this morning, we've awakened to what I believe and what I call a total new America, a new America. Lest we forget it, ladies and gentlemen, our great nation has been blessed of God as no other nation on the face of the earth. I believe America has been the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. There's several reasons behind it, and I'll get into the details of it. One of the primary reasons is because we have honored God through blessing Israel and praying for the peace of Jerusalem, that we're required to do so according to the Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no other nation we've been blessed. America is a constitutional republic. We have a representative form of government. But today, we're told by Joe, told by the world, and told by our nation in particular, we're told by the political talking heads in America and those that in the Beltway in Washington, that Joe Biden won the election. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, unknown and very rarely published any information about it. Nancy Pelosi had some major poignant positions that she was pushing with all the major corporate entities. She was requiring all of the corporate entities, the big box store corporate owners, to make a declaratory statement and to publish those statements that Joe Biden is, in fact, the winner of the presidential election. Why are they having to school Americans on the fact that Joe Biden won if Joe Biden won? Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, did he really win the election? That's the question we need to ask. We've been told, ladies and gentlemen, the pandemic was due to a deadly virus that was from bats in China that somehow jumped from bats to humans in the Wuhan, China wet market. We've been told that. We've been told that it was, that's the fact. But ladies and gentlemen, is that true? We've been lied to, deceived. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, we need to face the reality of what is real, what is true, and what is not. We are also told, ladies and gentlemen, that America was not founded in 1776, but in 1619. It's called the 1619 Project. Is that true? Or are we being lied to? Today across America, ladies and gentlemen, we've been told that there must be a January the 6th commission to search out and find out what happened in the Capitol. We need to find out what took place. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi is in charge of the Capitol Police. Nancy Pelosi is in charge of the security of the Capitol Complex. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is the one that is the repository and is responsible for the control of over 14,000 clock hours of video footage of the Capitol Complex during the January the 6th supposed insurrection, as they're wanting us to believe. She's in control of it, unwilling to release 1 hour of that footage. Why is that so? Because it'll reveal, ladies and gentlemen, that the Capitol Police opened the doors, took the gates down, opened the doors, and helped direct the traffic to get the protesters in the Capitol. With some of the footage that has finally leaked out, it shows that it was not they did not enter primarily by breaking and entering, but because the doors were open, they were invited to come in. So do we need a January the 6th commission? We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. Do we need that commission? What will it do? Ladies and gentlemen, it'll only trickle out bits and pieces of warped, one-sided news to try to prevent the Republicans winning any seats or any re-election in the midterms in 2022. It's so that it'll have a 3 or 4 year cycle to try to control the election in 2022 and 2024. That's exactly what it's about. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. In just a moment, we'll introduce our special guest and talk about some of these issues that I believe we need to understand from a Christian, conservative, patriotic position. I'm not talking about from a worldview that says the politics are correct in Washington. I'm not talking about a worldview that says we need to believe what the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic, Communist Party tells us, or the Communist Network News. I'm not talking about believing something from that standpoint, but analyzing it and looking at it from a central biblicist worldview and thinking, God, what is it you're saying, and what is it that we need to truly believe? Ladies and gentlemen, we're told also that Israel is to blame for the 12-day battle in the Middle East. We're told that Israel is bad, that they're wicked people, they've murdered women and children in that 12-day period of time, that they've blown up buildings that they didn't need to, that they've hurt and harmed the Hamas people in Gaza, and it's all Israel's fault. Is that true? That's the lie we're being told. Is it true? What about the facts? What do the facts tell us in relationship to who controls the land, who owns the land, and whether or not that is true? And ladies and gentlemen, here's one other point before we complete our monologue today. One other point. We're being told that President Joe Biden is fit as a fiddle. That's my term. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, by the way, fit as a fiddle. We're told that, yet we've seen him fall down the steps going into Air Force One. We've watched him stutter and stammer and not be able to even read his teleprompter. We watched him now in the past several times he's been in the public with an earpiece where someone is whispering to him the questions and the answers as to what he needs to say. Next time he speaks, look, see if he has a right ear earpiece in his ear as he is speaking. What is that for if it's not for the transmission of information so that he'll not look like a stammering fool on the public front, on a national scene? But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, Jen Psaki, his lying mouthpiece, Jen Psaki, I'm looking at an article. I'm going to review just a brief word or two on this. Then we'll interview our guest today and introduce him to you. Jen Psaki says, Biden is so physically fit that sometimes he's hard for us to keep up with. Dateline, Washington, May 25th, 2021. Go about your business, America. Everything is fine on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington. In fact, it's more than fine. It's better than great. The President of the United States isn't feeble at all. He's not a man that struggles with words. He's not a man that struggles with thoughts. He's not a man that falls up the stairs. He's a man of vigor, and there's nothing at all to fret about. President Joe Biden is so vigorous that not even people who are a fraction of his age can keep up with him. So says Jen Psaki, the president's press secretary. Quote, I will say I have nothing to read out on the president's private exercise routine, she said. I can tell you, however, having traveled with him a fair amount of time, sometimes it's hard for us to keep up with him. Further, Jen Psaki says, Psaki told, had to tell us all of something about, something or all about, something that she surely doesn't even believe herself, that Biden is essentially the standard bearer for fitness and energy and strength and well-being, physically speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being lied to on every hand as Americans. And we'll talk about some of these lies, and we'll talk about what we need to believe and what we need to see, what we need to hear and understand from a conservative Christian perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today former Republican representative from District 1 in the state of Florida, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion about some of these various and myriad of issues that I believe that we need to make clear for our listeners to understand. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show. And I was listening to the monologue, and one of the last points you made was about the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki. And you mentioned how she lies about President Biden's health and how hard it is to keep up with him. The thing is, Dr. Youngblood, almost every time Psaki opens her mouth, she is telling us an untruth. And what is so dangerous about that is she can do it almost unconsciously. When she's lying, it doesn't seem to bother her at all that she is telling a lie. And so many of us know that it's a lie, and she doesn't care that we know. And that's in a dangerous situation.
Yes, it is. It's almost like saying, Congressman, and I know that you understand this, some of our listeners may not, what she's literally publicly saying is, don't believe your lying eyes, just believe what I'm telling you. And that is the whole of what is coming out of Washington today for the Biden administration, is that we're, as citizens in America, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, we're to believe what they tell us and not what we see, know, and understand ourselves. This is the thing that I believe makes it so, as you said so clearly, it makes it so dangerous for us today, because picture those, Congressman, for those that just do not do anything but listen to the or watch the Communist Network News and have those statements highlighted. Picture what they believe that is the truth, and this is the focus that I make every day about needing to believe truth. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Dial that number, get right through to us, and let's discuss the issues today. Congressman, let's touch on several of these issues that I overviewed in the monologue. What about what we know that took place in Israel with the, I call it a 12-day war that took place? And according to all of the news and the news cycles with the Communist Network News, all the commentators, especially on CNN and others like that, they're blaming Israel, that Israel happens to be the bad guy. Israel murdered women and children, and Israel is the one that promulgated the battle. Tell us from your perspective, what took place, what is the real truth, and how should we as Christians believe that and think about that, and how should we respond to it?
The real truth is, Dr. Youngblood, is that the nation of Israel has a right to defend itself. That is an inalienable, God-given right. They don't need permission from the United Nations, from the United States, or from anyone else. They have a God-given right to defend themselves. And Hamas, which is a terrorist organization that is located there in Gaza, amongst the people who live there, received weapons and funding from Iran. Iran received that money from President Obama, and we all know about that in the form of cash, over $1 billion. They then used that to purchase weapons that they supplied to Hamas, who began firing these rockets into Israel. Now, Israel has some amazing technology. One is called the Iron Dome, which where they are able to intercept missiles in the air and prevent them from hitting their intended target. Another bit of technology about this Iron Dome is it is able to mathematically know the trajectory of the rockets, where they came from. And they can return fire directly at that spot where those rockets came from. And when they do that, they find that those rockets are located in areas that are highly populated. They will put them in buildings where news media are. They'll put them close to hospitals. They'll put them in highly populated areas. So when Israel is simply defending itself, returning fire to the locations where the rockets came from Hamas, and they are causing damage. And what Israel goes even further than that, Dr. Youngblood, they will call them first and let them know,
yes,
hey, we are getting ready to fire this rocket here,
yes,
to destroy your, to let them know. They said, get the people out of there. And Hamas will not do it. Instead, they want the civilian casualties to happen so that they can then go to the media, the national media, which is just as corrupt as the U.S. media, and cry foul that women and children are being killed. The fact is, if you had not fired your rockets from those highly populated areas, then women and children would not be. And if you had heeded the warning and said, hey, we're getting ready to return fire, clear out of the area, again, they would not have been killed. Dr. Youngblood, that's almost unprecedented in war, where two combatants or one combatant will tell the other side, we're getting ready to hit you right here, get your civilians out of the way. But that is exactly what Israel has done. And we see that this anti-Semitism is coming out not only in the United States, but around the world against the nation Israel. But as you said in your monologue, we are to bless Israel, because those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And I think what we are seeing now is God is revealing just who is an anti-Semite, who is going against the nation Israel. And we're seeing a lot of it is the Democrat Party.
Yes. Congressman, you just touched on what I was about to ask. I find it sad in America today where, as a whole, from a political machine out of Washington, we basically abandoned Israel, though Biden is now verbally saying that we still stand with Israel. But yet we have in the House and the Senate a number of those leaders that are absolutely adamantly opposed to Israel, wanting to defund anything that we do for Israel. In fact, there's a pending weapons bill now that will provide about $800 billion, I assume it is, for that amount of weapons to Israel from America. And AOC and Tlaib and Omar and others are trying to block that from being funded, because they claim that Israel ought not to be funded. Whole bottom line is, Congressman, and I believe our listeners need to understand, the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered from a Christian conservative perspective, who really owns the land? Who owns the land? And I'm looking at a list of scriptures that I have pulled out for this. For example, the scripture says in Genesis 13:15, all the land that you see I give to you and to your offspring forever. And then we see in Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and thy seed for ever. And I will give unto thee and thy seed and after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all of the land of Canaan, and for an everlasting possession I will be their God. And I could go on and on and on with multitudes of scriptures that validate that God's given the land to Israel and not to a divided Jerusalem. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but first, I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Congressman, Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Doing great. Hope you are.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir. I do believe that this administration is complicit in the recent attacks by Hamas. They reinstated a suspension of payments to the Palestinian Authority, which is, might as well just say Hamas on that, several hundred million dollars there. Iran was not in a great financial position until the Biden administration came back in, because now they're looking forward to a renegotiation of renewed trading status with the rest of the world, and the end of sanctions for the reinstatement of the agreement, the nuclear nonproliferation agreement that Obama had originally put down on paper. So for me, I do believe that if they would have left in place the Trump administration's policies there, that Hamas might not have been able to effectively, or the amount of rockets that they threw. I don't believe they could have done that without those additional funds.
I believe you're exactly right, Congressman. How do you respond to that statement?
Yes, Jim is exactly right. That's correct. What the Trump administration had in place, by a very able body Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, were policies that were bringing peace to the Middle East, that we saw many Arab nations who were signing peace agreements with Israel. That was unheard of, unprecedented. And it wasn't until the Trump administration left and the Biden administration came in, clearly being anti-Israel, anti-Semites, where they then right away sided with Iran, which is clearly a nation that wants to proliferate terrorism, that has made it their stated goal to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that have called America the great Satan and a dreaded enemy. Why on earth would we have an administration, a Biden administration, that would want to cozy up with a nation like that, that has declared us to be their enemy and Israel to be their enemy? And Jim was exactly right. If it wasn't because of the Biden administration coming back in and funding Iran, which then gives those funds and weapons to Hamas, we would not be in the situation we're in the Middle East right now. And that 12-day war never would have happened.
Exactly right. Sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a number of issues. Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your comments. You're right on target with what you've said. And we need to keep on praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm looking at the scripture in Genesis chapter 48, verse 4. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed and to thee for an everlasting possession. The scripture is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that God gave the land to Israel. And by the way, when you look at the land that God promised to the nation of Israel, they have never possessed the totality of the land that God gave to them. It belongs to them, not to the Arabs, not to the jihadists, but to the children of Israel, the Jewish people. And ladies and gentlemen, right after the top of the hour news break, we're going to talk about whether or not we need a January the 6th commission to study what happened at the Capitol. We're going to talk about the vaccines. We'll talk about the origin of the coronavirus. Did it originate in the Wuhan wet market, or was it in the lab? Was it purposeful? Was it accidental? We're going to talk about Dr. Fauci, Emperor Fauci's position. Is he responsible for it? Should he be held responsible? Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a number of things we're going to cover, and we're talking about it from a conservative Christian biblical perspective today. How should we view these things? How should we respond to them? What should be our position? What will be the end result as we look at them? We need to recognize that though we talk about them and the seriousness of it, that God's still on the throne. He's still in control. And as Christians and as conservatives, we cannot toss in the towel, give up, and say that it's hopeless. We need to recognize that God will fight for us, as he told those in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.